Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we are joined by Kimberly Gonzalez, who shares her journey coaching a nonprofit CEO through challenges of emotional reactivity and feedback acceptance. Through a tailored coaching approach, Kimberly facilitated remarkable growth, highlighting the power of feedback, strategic thinking, and disciplined action in leadership development. Dive into this episode as we explore how leadership coaching can transform organizational culture and enhance leadership effectiveness.
So this client is a CEO in a nonprofit. They've got about 1,000 employees, and they're on the West Coast here. And generally, the challenge she was facing is, although she was beloved and is highly regarded, she was known for being a bit emotionally reactive, especially in high-stakes situations. In addition, she had told folks that she wanted feedback and then didn't always accept it graciously when it was given. There was also a desire for more accountability around her role as a sponsor and providing accountability and support to the change management teams that are leading a number of initiatives. So those were the big things at the individual level. Now, at the level of the system, there were some serious challenges. Before she came into the role, probably 8 to 10 years prior, there had been a leader who was still casting a bit of a shadow with some negative behaviors, some challenges with labor issues. And additionally, you know, like many industries, COVID was very tough. And so that really put a lot of pressure on everyone, especially frontline employees. So those were a few.
Well, brave of you to go running headfirst into this environment. And it sounds like, from what we've discussed off air, good thing that you did. Walk back to the very beginning and tell us, how did they get in touch with you? How did this whole engagement come about?
This was a referral from another SCC coach in the network. And we did a series, the leader did a series of chemistry interviews, spoke to a few coaches, decided she would like to work with me. And I did have a really strong and positive sense in that first meeting with her. I definitely got a read on her sort of direct nature, which I really appreciate, but also a real passion for making a difference and driving change. So I could see, you know, the courage, the humility there, the discipline. I didn't have objective evidence about that. But there was enough in the conversation that gave me a sense that this is not someone who's going to back down from a challenge. And sometimes that's a good proxy for me.
You know, I like you're talking here about courage, humility, and discipline, which is, you know, what we teach is the prerequisites, the characteristic prerequisites for stakeholder-centered coaching. Can you tell a little bit about how you go about assessing that? Or what are some key indicators you're looking for in that first conversation to suggest this leader is really ready for what you're about to do with them?
High level, I really like to hew to the process that Chris Coffey embodied so well for us, really in talking about you know, what are your thoughts on some areas that would benefit you? What would be the impact if you were seen as being more effective in this area? I also like to ask and challenge people, you know, what are you concerned about? If you don't deal with this directly, what will that cost you? And a lot of times in that part of the conversation, coaches can really get a sense for whether the leader is looking at things honestly, right? There's a level of transparency. For me, it's things like, let me tell you about a time that didn't go so well, Kimberly, right? Like that's a willingness to be vulnerable, to count those mistakes as learning opportunities. It shows me a growth mindset. I think that's really important if we're going to do difficult things, right? We're not always going to succeed. We're going to have some failures and missteps along the way, but not letting that deter us. Depending on the person, you know, some people are very sort of reserved, and this person isn't. And for me, that's something I appreciate, I feel comfortable with. And so I think that was part of what helped us figure out, would we be a good fit?
And how was the first conversation that you had where you sort of introduced the process? You're going to involve your stakeholders, you're going to share, go public with your goal, you're going to ask for suggestions. Was that an easy conversation, an easy yes? Or was there some early apprehension?
No, it was an easy conversation, and is one that I have up front before I'm hired. This is what we will be doing together. How does that sound to you?
And do you ever negotiate on those parameters of what the coaching involves? Or do you just say, this is it? If you're with me, buckle up, Buttercup. We're getting ready to go.
Generally, I would say when I feel like it's appropriate to use the stakeholder-centered framework, I'm not willing to compromise on the elements of including stakeholders, of sharing the goal, or doing regular follow-up. Those are non-negotiables. If we do something else, it's not stakeholder-centered coaching. I think there are occasions when a different approach may be more beneficial to the leader to set them up. And if someone is very new in role, as an example, so it's a little nuanced, but in general, this is how we do it. Are you up for that? And the benefit, right? To really, it makes sense that people can be hesitant, but being able to share honestly, this is how powerful it is. And yes, it's uncomfortable and it's worth it, right? Like your colleagues hopefully will really come in and have your back and stretch you and support you. And it's going to be worth it, right? And I'll be here for you 100%.
Well, I think you've taken such a wonderful approach to this particular engagement. So we've got a very senior female leader who's got she's beloved. People enjoy working with her. There's
highly regarded.
There's always some rough edges, both in terms of the system and institution, as well as the individual leader. Walk us through in all the beautiful details. What was it like to be coached by Kimberly?
Well, I think you'd have to ask her. For me, I think the coaching process, part of what I bring that's been very useful here is really because of my corporate banking background, that strategic lens. So I'm inclined to look at a leader and naturally look at their context and get very curious. What are the key elements and levers that impact the way this person is operating within the system? So I think that's something that's unique to the way I approach coaching. I also think, and the results definitely bear it out here, is an ability to go beyond the one-to-one and bring additional value at the level of the system. And we did that over a period of time. We're beginning our third year together now. So that's been a foundation that we built on. Each year, we've added new elements that have increased the level of difficulty for sure, but also the level of effectiveness and her ability to really just use the stakeholders and build the relationships while she's working on goals that are relevant for her and that are worth the investment of time and money by the organization.
Well, I think anyone who's worked with you, Kimberly, would wholeheartedly agree with your strategic thinking and the way that you show up with that to enact real change. From a very high level, you've got 3 years of coaching. As the strategic thinker you are, how did you sort of lay out what you're going to pursue and intend to fix or address each of those years?
Well, I think we started, we did start with what was most pressing in year one. And that was feedback around the lack of psychological safety that is created when leaders are reactive. And so we set to work on that. That was really the primary goal in year one. There were some ancillary things, but what was most important to stakeholders was to see a shift in that behavior. So we started there, you know, with the area of perceived greatest need. As she went to work, and absolutely, this woman has so much discipline, Brandon. It's a pleasure to work with her. She does the work with stakeholders and not from that perspective of checking the box. She really values them, respects them, and wants to benefit as much as she can from what they share. So she's been very consistent, and that's helped us to build. In year two, I suggested that we take a step back and look again, going a bit broader in the system, what are the leadership competencies in this organization? Because everyone is being measured against them in some way, and it's appropriate that leaders go first. Right. So she stepped up and we built that into our assessment process and our measurement process. So not only is she making progress toward the coaching goals, but she's also actively embodying what it is that the organization says is most critical for its leaders. So that feels like a real win.
How about the stakeholders, right? We talk a lot about the leader and about the coach. Were the stakeholders, given that this was such an adored leader, were they immediately on board and excited about this? Did they seem a bit reserved given the background of asking for feedback and not quite receiving that as gracefully as it could be? What were you noticing?
It's a great question. Because of the positive regard and level of respect from the beginning, there was a willingness to do this. And it makes sense that people are reticent at points. So what we noticed was, and I give this woman credit, I did interview about 20 people as we began the engagement, some of whom were family members, and that takes a lot of courage, right? You're talking about what are you looking for in the process? It takes a lot of courage to invite your family into a process like that. The stakeholders ended up being only colleagues, and she went to at least two levels, and some in year two, she went three levels down in the organization. That is where it took more time for her to build trust with people where the power differential was the greatest. And because they saw the progress and her commitment, that was powerful. So they learned that she was trustworthy. I always tell leaders, you know, your job is to make this process positive and predictable for the stakeholders. And that's on the leader. So she did that very well. And that, you know, Frank Wagner talks about this. It almost doesn't matter what goal a leader chooses. The impact on relationships and the strength in relationships is gold. And that has been true in this engagement as the organization has, you know, hit some new challenges. The relationships that she's cultivated, especially with people further away from her inner circle, have been really key relationships to navigate some challenging situations. That trust built, it transferred to her and really benefited her. And it wouldn't have happened. I can't honestly think of a way it would have happened apart from this process.
You mentioned that there's new challenges. And I love starting engagements by saying, look, what's the crisis you're going to likely to experience this year? How are we going to respond to it? Let's give ourselves future feed forward right now. How in your experience does the process of stakeholder-centered coaching flex with the new incoming challenges, or does it need to? What is your perspective on the adaptability of the process to new unforeseen incoming challenges?
I think it's actually naturally designed to be able to grow with leaders over time. That said, one of the things that I hold in mind and really challenge the leaders I work with to consider is, how well are you serving all of the stakeholders, not just your inner circle, but everyone in the system? And in that regard, I think this process is hands down the best that I've seen. A challenge in this third year has been continuing pressure externally, funding pressure. And there's an element of political pressure in the system. And as well, there's been a big change in board membership. So nearly half her board is new this year. And that's both a challenge and an opportunity. So really, this is the place where I challenge, you know, what's the trade-off to you? What's the cost if you play it safe? Because it is uncomfortable to build relationships where they are not as strong as they could be, right? What will be the cost if you choose that? And what will be the benefit if you look at this and objectively decide that it's worth taking on as a goal? So in for us in year three, involving some external stakeholders is something that I think will be important. And we're adapting the process a bit. You know, this is our third year together, and this is not my first engagement. So I feel comfortable doing that. And this is a place where it's very, very customized for the leader's needs, right? Not every stakeholder, when you get external, is appropriate for every goal. So we're really, you know, digging in on where is the value add, depending on the goal. We go back to the basics, though, of the framework. What's the goal? Now let's select stakeholders.
Well, you've had a wonderful layout for the way that you've approached these challenges that you've been hired to address. Let's talk a little bit about results, because I think as you said earlier, the results speak for themselves, and they're great results. I'll preface that, but they're fairly par for the course from what I've seen you produce. Tell us a little bit about what has happened in these 3 years you've been working with this leader.
Yes, and I would just say, like, for the record, the client is doing the work, right? They are producing those results. And her results have been really strong. In year one, like I said, the focus was in large part really working on emotion regulation and showing up, you know, positive and calm and able to take that negative feedback in stride in the moment. And there was a real positive shift in that. Her other goal, though, even in year one, was holding these project teams and the change management teams accountable. And so results in year one, her board rated her a 3. Direct reports rated her over a 2, and others rated her almost 2. But one thing that really stands out to me is 50% of her stakeholders rated a +3 in her overall perceived leadership effectiveness, which is unbelievable. I honestly have not had another leader score that high on the perceived leadership effectiveness. So that was great. We talked too about the results of how valuable the stronger relationships can be, especially when things are difficult. Year two, we added in
Kimberly, can I just jump in because I want to give some context. So for those of you who are listening at home, tuning in at the gym or on your morning commute, what Kimberly is talking about is the mini survey. And this is one of the two non-negotiables of stakeholder-centered coaching, which is that you involve stakeholders and you measure results. And we measure with the mini survey, which asks the question, what changes have you seen in this leader's overall effectiveness on a -3 to +3 scale, where -3 is much worse and a +3 is much, much more improved. And when you pick this apart as a researcher, you're looking at +1, meaning I really see some change in this leader. I see change in this leader. A +2 is I really seeing quite a bit of change. Three is the equivalent of this is a completely different person I'm working with. What happened and what did you do with the old person? So to get a +3, especially from the board of directors, that is absolutely fantastic and speaks volumes about the work that she's done. So with that context, Kimberly, continue into year two, because this is outstanding.
Yeah, and thank you for setting the context. Even as you say it too, I'm kind of blown away again. Like, this woman's amazing to work with. So in year two, we added the organization's leadership development competencies. And we brought that into the focus of engagement with stakeholders and also the measurement piece. So we're looking at progress on the coaching goals, which in year two expanded. And again, year two, you know, she didn't rate as high, to be honest, but she was still nearly hitting 2s, like 1.9 with her board and direct reports, 1.8 on the overall perceived change in leadership effectiveness. And on the, I imagine that this gives her, you know, great satisfaction as well. Overall, on the leadership competencies, on a 5-point Likert scale, 4.5. On balance, on 20 competencies. So, you know, she's a strong leader. This is who we work with, right? It's who I work with. People who are already very successful and want to become even more effective.
So are you saying that there's a five-point scale for the competencies that you aligned with, the organizational competencies? Her average across 20 of these was 4.5?
Yes.
And that was a performance where, you know, presumably five is exceptional performance, something like this.
Right. Five was the top of the scale. One was the lowest, right? The worst you've ever seen. Five is the best you've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's very strong. And that said, that was instructed. There are areas within those competencies where work is needed. And it matters. It will have an impact as she continues to improve. So I feel like we've added, you know, like a level of difficulty to the thinking of, you know, gymnast or a performer. It's like, and here's the maneuver, and the level of difficulty is 9.0. But yeah, it's, and she's, I mean, that's where it matters. Courage, humility, discipline, also passion, right? You only work this hard for things that you really care about. And that's part of what I appreciate. This is, she is someone who understands contributing to something larger than herself.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've learned. You've gone through 3 years with this leader. Surely you've walked away with some, and I should say, go ahead and try and think of one or two priority things that you've learned that you could share.
Yes. Thank you. You know me, Brandon. Yes. So I'm learning to be more concise. I would say, let me go big picture first. So as this person has really prioritized building a culture of feedback and feed forward, and I keep emphasizing feed forward, right? That's where you get the leverage. But that's something that every organization is working to do. And so here we have a leader who is not only modeling the behaviors for effective feedback and effective feed forward, she's also modeling the competencies that this organization values. So that's real learning, right? Things change when leaders can do that. I think the other thing that is really apparent for me and becoming even more clear, SEC provides not only proof of an ROI in the behavior change on the coaching goals, right? It gives a quantitative lens. And so many organizations, if they measure at all, right, and only a relatively small percentage measure, this helps them really be strategic and use coaching as a complement to their learning and development frameworks. So organizations would typically look at a self-report. And this is another piece of quantitative data where it's the stakeholders' perception. So those are two real areas of learning for me. That and the courage, humility, and discipline, don't try this at home, right? If you're not willing to bring those qualities to bear, it's not going to work well.
I think you've shared with us as well what organizations can start taking away from this, which is when you're measuring your L&D initiatives, stop using self-reports. Actually look at how people are showing up differently, what they're doing differently, how they're behaving differently. And bigger than that, how people are seeing that. Because we know leadership is a function of people's willingness to follow you, where it is that you're trying to lead. And so to actually measure this with something like the mini survey, which, by the way, again, ladies and gentlemen listening at home, the mini survey we've shared, the questions are out there. The scales are out there. There's nothing proprietary about it. So start using this today for free. It's out there. Go nuts with it. But if we were to turn this back around to coaches and say, what can coaches learn vicariously through your experience? What are one or two things that you might point them to?
I think, as always, stick to the fundamentals. Don't compromise the process, right? Frank and Chris talk about your job is to hold this framework with integrity so that the behavior change can happen. I still think that's really important. Bringing a lot of curiosity. Don't make up that you know what's going on. And I really enjoy the challenge of crafting goals that are really relevant and that specify the behavioral change and are tied to business metrics, right? That's the banker in me. Even though we're measuring and the mini survey is all about the coaching progress, and that's fair, you know, leaders, teams, they are in these roles to deliver results. And so I like to build for that, right? Begin with the end in mind, have a very clear picture of the ideal final result.
Well, if I'm an organization and I'm listening to this story, very likely I'm going to say, oh my goodness, I didn't even think about linking coaching and individual leadership coaching to the organizational values that we espouse, to the strategic initiatives. And that is a unique contribution you make as a coach. I may also be a coach who is being asked to do this. So if I'm one of these two people, how would I get in touch with you, ask you a question, follow your story? Where could I go to do that?
Brandon, thanks for the question. I do love to engage in these conversations and help people. Either I can help you or I can put you in touch with someone who can. You can find me at Kimberly@leadershipstate.com. Email is the best way to reach me and I'll get back to you and happy to engage in the conversation.
Kimberly Gonzalez offered insights into the nuanced world of leadership coaching within the nonprofit sector. Kimberly's strategic approach, focusing on emotional regulation, feedback acceptance, and stakeholder engagement, demonstrates the significant impact of tailored coaching on both the leaders and the organizations. Inspired by today's discussions, we hope you're motivated to explore these strategies in your leadership journey.
Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.